Hallelujah. Turn with me in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1. This morning we're going to finish up this little short series that we've had talking about the spiritual blessings that are made available to us in Christ. And we've been looking at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 has been our key scripture in this series here. And it reads in the New American Standard, it reads, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places." The King James Version, as we've seen, is, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." And the Phillips translation, which I like particularly well, says, "Praise be to God for giving us through Christ every possible spiritual benefit as citizens of heaven." Hallelujah. We've been given every benefit possible to live this Christian life. How many of you experienced that living this Christian life isn't really easy all the time? Amen. Praise the Lord. I know Pastor Karen was talking to Rachel, and I know she said something about life is hard and Christian life is hard, but she made a profound statement that says, choose your hard. Amen. You make a choice, you know. But praise God, when you choose the Christian life, you're not just doing it alone. Amen. You've got God on the inside of you. You've been this blessing. Amen. In the first 8 verses, Paul shared with us 5 of those blessings, which should be making an impact daily in how we view ourselves as children of God and as members of the kingdom of God. It's important that how you see yourself. Amen. Amen? If you see yourself as coming short, as lacking, as not having things in place, then that's where you're going to live. Amen? That's where your relationship with God's going to attain that level. But if you see yourself as God sees you, there's no limit to what God can do in and through your life.
Amen.
Yes. Amen. Amen. When you know these things and you know about these spiritual blessings, it should bring confidence and security. It should bring peace and joy. Those things we were talking about downstairs this morning, it should bring that into your life every day in your relationship. Amen? Those 5 things that we've looked at, and I'm not going to get into them. We've seen that we are the chosen. We are holy and blameless before our Heavenly Father. We are adopted into His family, given all the rights and privileges that He has for us. We are redeemed by the Son, and we are forgiven of all our sins. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So today we're going to begin in verse 9. Verse 9, the New American Standard reads, "He made known to us the mystery of His will, according to His kind intention, which He purposed in Him, with a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of times," that is, the summing up of all things in Christ, "things in the heavens and things upon the earth. In Him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to His purpose, which works all things after the counsel of His will." Hallelujah. What we see here, number 6, is we can know God's will and His plan for our lives and for the future. We've been let in on a great secret, a great mystery. Amen? "He made known" is the word norizo. It means to cause information to be known by someone, communicating things that were before unknown, or reasserting things already known. In this case, referring to spiritual insight and understanding. God has made known to you, as a child of God, He has revealed things to you through His Word, through the Holy Spirit, that before you got saved, you didn't have a clue about. Anybody understand that? Amen? He made known to us. He communicated it to you. The mystery is the word musteron in the Greek. And in the Greek, it means something secret. It, especially the secrets of mystery religions, communicated only to the initiated. You had to belong to a certain club. There's groups around today that still act like that. Got to have a password to get into the building. You got to have a secret. They have a secret handshakes and all kinds of stuff. Nothing like that. When you become a child of God, God begins to reveal things to you. It's not in secret. He puts it out there. Anybody that wants to be a part of it, anybody that wants to know, God says, come on, become a child of God, make Jesus the Lord of your life, and I'll show you things that'll blow your mind. Amen. I'll reveal myself to you. I'll reveal my plan to you. I'll reveal to you who I called you to be, who I created you to be, not who your parents created you to be, not who the world says you are, but who I say you are. Hallelujah. The word musteron in the New Testament is not mysterious or mystical at all. It describes previously hidden truth now revealed by God. And in fact, it describes truth that can only be known by revelation from God. I know we've talked about this before. You ever tried to read the Word of God before you were saved? Didn't make a whole lot of sense, did it? You're like, ugh, what is this? Especially when you're reading through Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy. Amen? You're like, whew, wading through that. But God begins to reveal it to you. When you get saved, He especially begins to reveal the plan of salvation. He begins to reveal His plan for the future. His plan of salvation, His plan as far as the Jews and the Gentiles equaling the church. The plan of God, which was once hidden, is now revealed and it's out in the open. It doesn't convey the idea of something that we cannot take in or understand. It's the idea that when God reveals it to us, we can understand it and we can know it. Praise God. Amen. Look at Ephesians chapter 3. Turn over a couple chapters. Paul gives us a little glimpse here, but he goes on in chapter 3. He details it even more. Ephesians 3, 3 through 6 says that by revelation there was made known to me the mystery, as I wrote before in brief. And by referring to this, when you read, you can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which in other generations was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed to His holy apostles and prophets in the Spirit. To be specific, that the Gentiles are fellow heirs and fellow members of the body and fellow partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel, of which I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given to me according to the working of His power. To me, the very least of all saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ, and to bring to light what is the administration of the mystery, which for ages has been hidden in God, who created all things, in order that the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly places. God had a plan that he's going to reveal through Jesus, going to reveal through the church. What does he say? Who's he going to reveal it to? To the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly places. There's things that the principalities and the powers and the rulers of darkness don't have a clue about. They didn't know about. It says if they'd have known what was going to happen, they would have never crucified Jesus. People think the devil knows everything. The devil's this. The devil doesn't know. Amen. There's things about your life, the plans and purposes for your life, that only God knows. And he's revealing it to you. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. The devil didn't have a clue about the Gentiles being added into the kingdom of God. Praise the Lord. Colossians chapter 1. Paul uses this word mysterion again. It says that is the mystery which has been hidden from the past ages and generations, but has now been manifested to his saints, to whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Hallelujah. Colossians chapter 1. Praise the Lord. The mystery that was hidden for generations, the plan of God, the kingdom of God that has been hidden for that God formulated, that when God chose you, he had it all in mind, and it was all there. And now, when the church was born, God began to reveal it to mankind. He wants to reveal it to you. Hallelujah. What a blessing. Amen. That spiritual blessing that the God of the universe wants to reveal things to you and I. Things that have been hidden for centuries, for thousands of years, been hidden for the ages. He wants to tell them to you, Clint. Amen. He wants to tell them to you, Chuck, to you, Judy, Mike, Jim, Linda, Mike, Pastor Karen, Rachel, everybody in here. He wants to reveal it to you. Everybody listening to this podcast, if you are a child of God, God wants to reveal those things to you. The riches of his grace. Hallelujah. We've been let in on the greatest thing that mankind has ever had open to them. Amen? The blessing of having God's plan revealed to mankind through the preaching of the gospel has two blessings. The first blessing is that all mankind has the opportunity to become a part of the kingdom of God and the church. Amen. Hear the gospel. You accept it. You can become a part of the kingdom of God. It doesn't matter where you were born. It doesn't matter your ethnic background. It doesn't matter the color of your skin. It doesn't matter how old you are or how young you are. When you hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and you say, I'm going to believe that. I believe that. I trust that. Things change. Amen. The only thing that matters is your faith and your trust in Jesus as your Lord and your Savior. That's a mystery to a lot of people out there. People are trying to earn their way into heaven by doing good. By people trying to earn their way into heaven by going to church every week. By giving money. Never made Jesus the Lord of their life. Amen. That's the only requirement is make Jesus the Lord of your life. Hallelujah. The second blessing is that we can know the future. It tells us in John, when the Holy Spirit comes, he will show us things to come. Amen. He will show us the future. Praise the Lord. You may not know specific timeline, but we know the events that they're going to eventually transpire. Amen. The Word of God tells us that Jesus is coming back. Say, well, why is he waiting so long? I don't know. It's only been a couple days in his estimation of time. Us, it's thousands of years. It's been a few days. Praise the Lord. But we can know what's going to happen. God has unfolded to us what he plans to do, what he's going to accomplish in the future. We have been told the details of this plan. And that's pretty incredible when you think about it. Amen. Jesus' death on the cross wasn't only about our own personal salvation. It wasn't just for us to be redeemed. But God's complete plan is also his redemption plan for everything. The redemption not only of physical souls, but the redemption of his whole creation. God isn't just making us new. He's going to make everything new.
Yes.
Amen? That's why we can have peace about what's going on. Things can look like it's very dark, and it is out there in the world. Things aren't great. But we know the future. Amen? We know that God is in control, that God has a plan. Look at Revelation chapter 21. We've been let in on the future plan of God. We may not have all the specific details. We may not know a date and time when it's going to happen, but we know it's going to happen. Revelation 21:1 says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there is no longer any sea." Now, I'm all for environmental protection. All right, making cleaner air. But these people that are obsessed with how we're destroying the earth and it's going to be gone in 10 years, it doesn't matter because eventually it's going anyway. That's God's plan. Amen. And if you grew up in the time we did, many of us did, the air is a whole lot cleaner today than it was when we were growing up. I mean, you used to have Dayton Power and Light over in Dayton, and big smokestacks. You could see the smoke billowing out of them coming this way. Amen? You could see all that stuff. People used to burn all their trash. Everybody had a burn barrel or a burn pile. People, yes. Some of our neighbors used to anyway. He says, "And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is among the people, and he will dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be among them.'" Glory to God. Someday we're not going to have to pray to a God that we don't see, that we can only sense, and we know, we have a knowing that he's there. Someday we can walk right to the throne, and there he is. Him and Jesus. That's awesome. I mean, just think about that. And we're going to be worshiping with myriads and myriads of people, shouting unto God, worshiping God from every tribe and every nation. There's going to be some people that are going to get up there and they're going to get shocked. So, you're here? I didn't think you were going to be here. Right? Just kidding. You're not going to have any recollection of that. Praise the Lord. God is going to dwell among us. And verse 4 says, and He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will no longer be any death. There will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. Glory to God. We've all been let in on the secret of what's going to happen in the future. Amen? And there are people that read that and, oh, I don't need that. It's the truth, whether you believe it or not. Amen? Everything that has been prophesied and spoken has come true that's written in here. Why wouldn't the rest of it come true? Amen? It could start happening today. The trump of God, Jesus could call all of us home. The rapture of the church, it could happen today, and everything would be put in motion. We're talking about the last of the last days, the last minutes of the last days. Amen? And He who sits on the throne said, behold, I am making all things new. And He said, write, for these words are faithful and true. Hallelujah. God not only wants to put us back together when we come to Jesus Christ, but He's going to be putting the world back together. And we're caught up in this larger plan of redemption where God's going to right all wrongs, recreating everything that's undone, redeeming and restoring everything that's been broken. Creation 2.0. Amen? Prior to the fall of Adam and Eve, or prior to the fall, Adam and Eve lived in a perfect, sinless world. They are the only human beings who have ever lived on this planet and know what that experience is like. The world we live in now has been corrupted by the influence of sin, which has brought every type of problem along with it. I mean, just listen to the news. Read on the internet. The newspaper, if it's still a newspaper, can be found. It's all bad news. Doom and gloom. You might have one little page that's got one little section of something that might have some cheerful news in it. Even the sports pages are always negative. Amen? Ephesians chapter 5. Just turn on over a few pages or back to there. We're not to live under that influence. We've been given insight. This is how the world operates. This isn't how you are to operate. We're to live differently. Amen? The mystery that's been revealed is that we can change. We can be changed into the image of His dear Son. We've been given the Holy Spirit to help us to grow and to change. Ephesians 5, 8. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8 says, for you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. For it is disgraceful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret. But all things become visible when they are exposed by the light, for everything that becomes visible is light. For this reason it says, awake, sleeper, and rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Therefore be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. You don't have to live in darkness anymore. You don't have to question what is God's will for your life or for my life. You can find it right here. Amen? You don't have to guess what God wants. What do you want from me, God? He'll tell you right here. He'll tell you through the Holy Spirit, convicting you and leading you and guiding you into all truth, saying you need to stop talking like that. You need to stop acting like that. You need to stop treating your spouse like that. Amen? All those things. You need to stop losing your anger, your temper. You need to lose your anger. Stop losing your temper. Amen? Stop doing those things. The Holy Spirit will tell you. He tells you to put off the old man and to put on the new man. We've been told through the Word how we are to live. We've been given insight and light into that. Amen? We've been told how to pray. Amen? We've been told all these things. He says, don't be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. So we can find out what the will of the Lord is for our life in every aspect. He's talking here in the context of cleaning your life up. Quit acting like that. Don't be doing those things that people in the world do and say it's all right.
Amen.
Amen? Well, I don't know. I don't really know if Christians should be able to drink. Look at verse 18. And do not get drunk with wine. Amen? Well, it's all right just to talk like that when I'm at work because everybody talks like that. No. It's all right to lose my temper because my whole family just always loses their temper. That's just the way we are. Nah. That's not God's will for your life. That's not God's plan for your life. His plan is for you to get saved and then begin to be formed and conformed to the image of His dear Son by changing. By putting your flesh under, walking it out every day, and changing. Amen? That's God's plan and His purpose for your life. And then as you begin to do that, then you can begin to share the good news of the gospel with other people and say, hey, look what God's done for me. He wants to do the same thing for you. Amen? And if He did it for me, He'll do it for you. And they start watching you and they're like, wow, something's really happened to them. They're different. That's God's plan and God's will. Well, I don't know if God wants me to have that job that's paying me a lot more money. Did you pray about a new job? Yeah, but I don't know. Did they call you? Did they offer you the job? Do you have a piece about it? Well, yeah, but I don't know. Well, duh. Yeah, you do. You know. You took God at His word. You prayed about it. You saw it Him. And then He opens up doors. And then all we want to do is question Him about it. I don't know if it's God's will. No, God wouldn't want you to have food on the table. God wouldn't want you to have peace because you're not having to worry about how to pay the rent or how to pay your house payment or how to pay your car payment because this new job's going to provide all that for you. No, God wouldn't want that for you. Dumb. Dumb. Well, I don't know if God wants me to have that house or not. Did He provide for enough money for you to buy that house? Just being real. The devil will try to confuse you. God is not the author of confusion. Confusion only comes from the pits of hell. You know what God's plan is. If you pray according to His word, it says you will have the things that you desired, the things that you prayed about. And James says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. That means it's going to do a lot of good. Amen? We know God's will. We're part of God's plan to share His goodness and His plan for all mankind. Hallelujah. We can know His will for our lives, and we know the future. And we know that people that aren't saved, people that don't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, they're in danger of spending eternity in hell, separated from God for eternity. Say, I don't want to hear that. I just don't want to hear it. I don't believe that. Well, I'm just telling you how it is. That's the truth. It's up to you whether you accept it or not. Your blood's not on my hand. I did what the Lord told me to do. I shared it with you. It's up to you to make the choice. Amen. The new heaven and the new earth will be God resetting and recreating the heavens and the earth, where sin and the effects of sin will no longer be present. Eventually, we all will experience the presence of God in His glory unhindered. What a day that's going to be. Amen. Glory to God. Verse 11 in Ephesians 1. Hallelujah. Says in Him, also we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to His purpose, who works all things after the counsel of His will, to the end that we who were the first to hope in Christ should be to the praise of His glory. We, number seven, the seventh spiritual blessing, is we have received an eternal inheritance. We're not trying to earn an inheritance. It's already ours. 1 Peter 1, 3 and 4 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, and into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. Hallelujah. We have an eternal inheritance. It's not just the things that we've inherited, the being heirs in this life. It's for the next life. It's for eternity. We get to live in the presence of God in a mansion that Jesus went to prepare for us and is getting ready for us. Amen. We get to live there for eternity. No more aches, no more pains, no more knee replacements. Amen. No more anything like that. Praise the Lord. Acts 20, 32 says, and now I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are satisfied. Praise the Lord. Sanctified. Didn't think that sounded right when I said it. Praise the Lord. Acts 26, 18 says, to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the dominion of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who have been sanctified by faith in me. Glory to God. We've been transferred from the kingdom and the authority of Satan to the kingdom of His dear Son. Hallelujah. And we've got an eternal inheritance waiting for us. As children of God, we've not only been chosen, we've been given a new heart, we've been made a new creation, we've been personally redeemed, we've been forgiven, but we've also inherited an eternal kingdom where we're going to enjoy the new heavens and the new earth. A forever kingdom where we will be in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ and our Heavenly Father. The thing that we can take from that is this world isn't our home. This is just temporary. It's not our forever place. Amen? As good as things can be, as fun as things can be, it's not our forever home. We're going to go to some place that's beyond our imagination. Spectacular. I mean, when you read about the new heavens and the new earth and the new Jerusalem, it's going to be spectacular. I mean, there will be no need for light because God's going to be there. That's just crazy when you think about that. Amen? A city from the distance from here to basically Tulsa, Oklahoma, that wide, that thick, that tall. Think about that. That's a big city. Amen. You think New York City's big? That'd just be a block. Amen. Huge. Praise the Lord. We have a great inheritance far above anything or beyond anything we can ever imagine. God just gives us a little bit of it that we can think about it and read about it and dream about it and say, wow, that's going to be spectacular. Amen. That's one of them spiritual blessings. The devil tries to beat you up and get you, oh man, look where you're at. Say, yeah, but you know what? Look where I'm going.
Yes.
Hoo-wee. Start meditating. Tell you what, he'll let you go to sleep. You start thinking about those things. He won't bother you anymore. He'll say, ooh, leave them alone. They're meditating on the Word. They're meditating on God. Get out of here. Leave them alone. The number 8 thing we're going to read here in Ephesians 1. 13 and 14. It says, in him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge for our inheritance, with a view to the redemption of God's own possession, to the praise of his glory. We are sealed by the Holy Spirit. We are sealed by the Spirit. It's our guarantee. It's a mark of ownership. It's identifying you as somebody who's operating under the king's authority. It's kind of like back in the old days when the king would heat up wax and they would put the ring in there, his signet, and they would know that was from the king. Well, now you've got the Holy Spirit on the inside of you when you make Jesus the Lord of your life. And when you walk down the street, every demon in hell knows, ooh, they're a child of God. Child of God coming. Amen? Sealed with the Holy. We don't see it. We might see it manifest in people's lives and the change and the new creation. But in the spirit realm, it marks you out as belonging to God. You ever wondered why all these attacks came at you after you became a child of God? When nothing ever, you're not saved. You ever have that thought before you actually got saved? No. It's why? Because the enemy can see, oh, they've got the Holy Spirit on the inside of them. They're marked out. They've got the stamp of authority on them. Praise the Lord. Jesus Christ gives us his full authority and his support. And he's there. You've got the Holy Spirit on the inside of you to live your life. You can be filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. You can do anything that God has called you to do. Overcome anything, whatever. the enemy tries to throw at you, you are more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. That's what the Word says. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit is the down payment. It just gives us a little taste of what heaven's going to be like. Amen? Praise the Lord. It's a foretaste of what's coming through the power of the Holy Spirit. God gets the glory. Amen. You know, to be sealed, kind of like, just think about it in the context of how they brand cattle, you know, out where there's no fences and ranchers, you know, make up their brand. The Fleemans might have like FFF, Fleeman Family Farms or something. They brand their cattle. So everybody, if another rancher comes along, that cow, if it gets out in some place, it is grazing somewhere, it identified immediately, oh, that belongs to the Fleemans. It's the same way. Oh, they belong to Jesus Christ. They belong to God the Father. They're part of the heavenly family. Amen. They're heirs to the kingdom. Amen. Everything that goes with it. You need to see yourself that way. All these blessings. Amen. God puts his seal on it and he says, they're mine. They belong to me. Devil, when you come against them, you're messing with me. Amen? You're not out there by yourself. You got your great big brother who already kicked the snot out of the devil once. He's right there with you. Amen? He don't want anything to do with him. It's like that bully wants to pick on you, and then your big brother comes walking down the street and they take off running. You're marked out. You belong to God. Amen? So, as we've looked at these things, in closing, just want to talk about, and I said it earlier this morning, your reality. As followers of Jesus, there's competing realities in your life. The Bible says we are chosen by God. But still, too many people live as if they're unwanted and unloved by God. The Bible says we're holy and blameless before God, but many still live consumed and paralyzed by shame and by guilt. The Bible says we're adopted as children, but too many people live like they're spiritual orphans. The Bible says we are redeemed and set free by the blood of Jesus Christ and his sacrifice, but many people still live shackled and in chains and in bondage to addictions and to sin. The Bible says we are forgiven, but many people still live like they have a debt that they owe. And they've got to try to repay it for the sins that they've committed. The Bible says we can know God's will and his plan of redemption and what the future holds, but yet many people still live in uncertainty and confusion as what God's will is for their lives. The Bible says we are heirs to an eternal kingdom, but many people still live like this is their forever home. The Bible says we are sealed by the Holy Spirit and marked out as belonging to God, but many people still live their lives if they don't know what family they belong to. You need to choose your reality. The devil wants you to stay on that one side where you're questioning everything. God and the Holy Spirit want us to live in the reality of who he says we are. Amen? if we come to the reality that these verses are true, and that they're true about us, not somebody else, if they're true about us, it changes everything in our lives. It will change everything. To be in Christ and to live in Christ, that's the very heart of this whole passage, this whole book. 36 times in the book of Ephesians, Paul says, in Christ. He said it 9 times in these passages we've looked at the last 3 weeks. Every spiritual blessing that we have, being chosen, being righteous, being adopted, being redeemed, being forgiven, being in the will of God, being heirs, being sealed, all of it is in Christ. And that's what it means to be a Christian, is that you're united with Jesus. You are in Jesus. Amen? You're wrapped up in His story. His death is your death. His sacrifice is your sacrifice. His life is your life. You make the decision that you're in Him, you're united with Him. And if you get that reality settled in your heart, it changes everything. It'll change everything. It'll change your perspective of who you are. Amen. It'll move you from over here and mopey get along street to over here to happy and flourishing street. And a lot of other things. Amen. A lot of us have experienced that. But God wants you to know He's not done yet. Amen. No matter how long you've been a Christian, no matter how long you've been walking in these blessings, there's more. More for you to know, more for Him to reveal to you. Amen. Praise God. It's my prayer that at the end of 2023, God will have revealed things to each and every person sitting in here that they did not know before. Amen. Praise the Lord. Father God, we thank You, Lord, for Your blessings. We thank You, Lord, for these spiritual blessings that You've showered upon us. And Lord, we thank You and praise You for all that You've done for us and all that You're going to do. And Lord, I just pray that each of us here and each of us listening, Lord, would grasp this and make these blessings a reality in our lives. Just thank You for that, praise You for that, and give You all the glory for that. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.